Blog Talk Radio.
Lead me, guide me along life's way. Lord, if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me, guide me along life's way. Lord, if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today, God, thanking you, Master, thanking you, oh God, for your son Jesus. Oh, thank you, God, for the precious baby laying in the manger. Thank you, Master, because you kept us and you never left us. Thank you, God, for your keeping power. Thank you, Master, because you redeemed us, oh God. You paid a price for us, oh God, and we are grateful, God. We thank you. We humbly thank you right now, oh, hallelujah. We give you praise. We say hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. We thank you, God. You know, last night we slept and we slumbered, oh God. And you had angels camped around us, Master. We said thank you. Thank you because you woke us up this morning. We were clothed in our right mind. Thank you, God. We were able to see with our eyes. We were able to walk. We were able to lift up our hands. Oh, hallelujah to you, God. Thank you, Master. Thank you, God, for giving us ears where we can hear, oh God. Giving us a voice where we can speak. We can open up our mouths and we can say hallelujah to you, God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We ask, oh God. We come humbly asking you right now in the name of Jesus to open up our hearts that we will receive your word. Open up our ears that we can hear, oh God. Open up our mind that clarity, clarity will come forth right now. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit will activate now in our hearts, in our mind, and in our souls. We are proper to give you all praise. We will give you all honor because it's rightfully due to you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah to the risen Savior. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords. We thank you. Yes, we thank you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. We didn't always know you, oh God. We didn't always walk in your ways, oh God. But you kept us, oh God. When we were wretched and we were undone, you kept us, oh God. And we thank you, Master. We could have died in our sins, oh God. We could have been gone on to hell, oh God. But you saw fit to come in and redeem us, oh God. To take us, oh God, out of the muck and the mire, oh God. And plant our feet, oh God, on a solid rock. Oh, Master, we are grateful right now. Yes. Grateful, I said. Grateful. Humbly grateful. Grateful indeed. Indeed. We thank you, God. We thank you for Jesus, your only begotten Son, oh God. We thank you. As he sits on the right hand right now, he sits. Oh God. We thank you, God. In Jesus' holy name. And we all say amen. We say amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No matter where you are, no matter what country you're in, no matter what city you're in, we just raise our hands and we say hallelujah to you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to his name, glory to his name. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to just move quickly into our lesson. We are just grateful. We are grateful. We all have experienced forgiveness. We have experienced forgiveness. We have experienced it from our early parents, our parents. Some of us experienced it from our relatives. Some of us experienced it from teachers, mentors. And most of all, from God. Yeah. It is an experience of Christ. When he hung and he bled and he died on the cross. But before he died, he said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So because of Christ's example of forgiveness, it is mandated. And exemplified that forgiveness with one another. Forgiveness for one another. Forgiveness for my sister and my brother. Forgiveness from those who despitefully use me. Forgiveness for the enemies that are plaguing us every day. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ephesians 4 and 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave us. Did you hear what I said? Let me say that again. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as our Heavenly Father forgave us. And he forgave us. If you are redeemed this day, you have been forgiven. If you're able to send a prayer up and get an answer, you have been forgiven. Yes. You have been redeemed. Matthew 18 and 21 through 25 says, we say the same words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We say it. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. We say it in the petition. We just stumble over. We stumble over that quickly. And some of us, it just has no meaning. But it says that we forgive us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus did not place a limit on the number of times we are to forgive. He didn't give a number. There was no limit. Let's say there was no limit. Luke 17 and 4 says, if he or she sins against you, listen to this carefully. If he or she sins against you seven times in a day, seven, the number seven, yes, the one that means completion, the number seven, if they sin, if they hurt you, if they harm you seven times a day, and seven times come back to you and say, I repent, Forgive him. Meaning, if someone harms you or hurts you 7 times during the day, and then they come back and say, please forgive me. You, me, we're supposed to forgive them. Yeah, that's our job. We're supposed to forgive them. And the forgiveness that I'm talking about comes deep in our hearts. That is where the forgiveness is. Now, bookmark this. If at any time you should feel, I can't do that, hello, we have someone who is greater, more powerful, who sits high but looks low. He is able. Glory be to God. He has already sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here, is present with us. Yeah. We go to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and we say, I need help. I need help. Lay it out. Hezekiah, lay it out. The plan of the enemy against him. You can lay it out and talk to God and explain to him, I need help. I need you to show me how to forgive this person. Show me how to have this love that I read about, that I hear about, how people spitefully use you and I'm supposed to love them. Show me, because I can't do it. I can't do it alone. Now, the Savior that I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit that has been sent here to lead and to guide us into all truth, to hold our hands, to push us up, to embrace us, to hold a wall up when the wall feel like it's falling on us. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have the power. You have the ability. You can do it. It has been given to you to act. It said, ask and you will what? Receive. Knock and that door will open unto you. But the first thing that has to be done is you and me. We have to admit, I need help. And so often we get stuck right there. We're stuck because we want to admit that we can't do it. We want to admit that we need help. And, of course, Lucifer is happy. Oh, yeah. Satan is happy that you can't ask for help, that you're too proud, that you can't ask for help, because that means to him that you can't humble yourself. And he knows that you have to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. He knows it. And he hopes that you and me will never learn that. Yes. So we got to go and ask. We got to go and ask for help. We are not to forgive others for any reason, but when the law of God commands, not for material reasons, not for monetary reasons. You know, we good at monetary stuff. We go, oh, yeah, give me a couple of dollars and I'll forgive you. No. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. That is not how it works. Forgiveness, biblically, does not demand forgiveness. A common error which occurs when speaking about the subject of forgiveness is the tendency to hold it as a hostage to the ability or the willingness of the offended person to forget what the offender did, or willingness of the offended person to forget what the offender did. What am I saying here? What is actually being said? What I'm saying is that if you or me have been offended. Someone has wrongfully harmed us. Someone has wrongfully offended us. Someone has wrongly just outright talked about us, degraded us. What are we supposed to do? Do we have the ability to forgive that? Do we have the power? Do we have the knowledge? Do we have the sense that is required? Huh? Can we do that? Even on the surface, this does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. You say, you everyone says that. I can't do that. How can an offended party forgive an offender for an act that cannot be remembered? Memory is crucial to a bonfire. The act of forgiveness, one might remember the hurt. To forgive a hurt, that's very difficult. This is why I said previously that when we can't do it on our own, and most of the time we can't, we have to go. We have to admit that we need help and that we have the Holy Spirit that will come in and lead and guide us, bring us to the truth, bring us to the place where we can be redeemed. Bring us to the place where we can get rest. God is the only one who is capable of remembering our sins no more. He's the only one. And this is in Psalms 25 and 7. He's the only one. But we remember him. We say we forget, but we don't forget. The only way that we can actually forget the hurt or the pain, it's just over time. It's just over time. And it's through the being redeemed, the washing, purification through the Holy Spirit, that he can wash us and he can keep us and he can make us whiter than snow. That we can forgive and we can forget. And it's a process. It's not something that overnight that it can be done. It is a walking process. In order for us to get into progress, David asked God to remember not the sin. He said, please don't remember the sins of my youth. And my rebellious ways. See, he's admitting to God. He was rebellious when he was younger. And it said here, according to your love, remember me, for you are good. Psalms 25 and 7. Yeah. See, we know what we have done. We know about our past. That's why a lot of times when someone wants to minister to someone else, you don't have to go and tell them what they did wrong. They already know what they did wrong. They can tell you all the things they did wrong. And most of the time, they hope that you don't know them. Yeah. So you don't need to tell them what they did wrong. You just need to tell them how they can get it right. Huh? And who can make it right? Yeah. Psalm 79 and 8 says, do not hold against me the sins of my fathers. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. We are in desperate need. This is desperate times. Many of us are walking around right now. There was a slogan years back where it's called you a dead man walking. You're dead. You're not alive. You're walking because you're holding on to unforgiveness. You haven't let that go. You haven't addressed it. You've taken the unforgiveness and put it in a corner or locked it in a closet somewhere, put it in a safe, or you put it in a chest, and you call yourself sealing it down, putting it, sweeping it under a rug. You have tried to hide unforgiveness, but it won't leave. It shows up. It shows up in our lives, sometimes through our children, sometimes through our mates, through our homes. The unforgiveness is showing up. So it has to be addressed. We have to look at, how can I forgive? How can I forgive? How can I forgive the person who stole my money? How can I forgive the person who jumped on me and beat me up? How can I forgive? Mark 11 and 25 and 26 says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If ye had an ought against any, think about that. You who are the leader of the prayer group, you who are over the church, children's church, you who are leadership, assistant leader, you are holding on to unforgiveness. And Satan is happy. He is delight that you swept it under a rug, that you locked it up in that closet, and it's still sitting there. But mainly it's in your heart. The unforgiveness is weighing you down. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. It's in your soul. The unforgiveness is plaguing you. It causes you to have high blood pressure. It causes you to have sleepless nights. Listen to what I'm saying. Unforgiveness is tormenting you. Listen to that. Yeah. When you stand praying, you shouldn't have the ought against anyone. So that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. If you want our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive you of sins that you may commit, hello, you have to forgive. It's just a reciprocal process. That's just how it goes. That's just how it works. You want to be forgiven? Well, you have to forgive. And that's just it. This is the circle. This is how it is. This is not something any of us created. This is from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, we exhort sisters. Paul warns them that are unruly, those that walk disorderly, comfort the feeble-minded, weak the spirit, and those who perhaps become discouraged very easily and have little hope. Support the weak. Stand with the weak. Allow them to lean on you. Maybe they have not learned how to lean on Jesus completely. Maybe they haven't learned that yet. Huh? And instead of leaning on him, they're fighting you. They're saying things about you. And it's all because of this unforgiveness that has been swept under the rug, that is lying dormant right here, that has been spread abroad the whole house, and you're trying to figure out what's up, where's the discord, why the children are like they are. Unforgiveness is a spirit. and it comes to destroy the whole family, the whole house. Be patient towards me. The strongest and most committed Christian will at some time need a little patience administered to them. Think about that. If you're going to be concerned with others, and you want others to be concerned about you, there may be a time when you may need. Think about it. Yes. You may be riding high today. Come on now. Think about it. Forgiving. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it says, I challenge you, humble yourselves. Therefore, the mighty hand, before the mighty hand, and the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Come off of that high horse. Come down. Come down. Get centered. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Speak, and he will listen. Speak, and you listen to what he has to say to you. And then after that, he's going to lead you. But the key thing is you must follow. You must follow because you're entangled in this. This is a snare that the enemy has plagued around you. You're in a snare. This is a trick. This is a setup. Unforgiveness. We are supposed to forgive those who despitefully use us. Just forgive them who plot and plan to destroy us. Forgive them for they know not what they are doing. And most of the time they don't know. And they don't even know who you really are. Yes. We are spirits. We just live in a body. Huh? Now, some of us are spirits of God, and some of us are not. Yes. Make sure that you're a spirit of a holy and just God. Who is the Redeemer? He's the Savior of the world. Make sure. Yes. The Bible talks to us about several leaders who needed to be forgiven. They needed to be forgiven for the things that they had done. Mm-hmm. Several of them needed to forgive others who had harmed them. Joseph and his brothers, how they sold him in slavery. That's just one. We know the story about Job and his friends and his wife. Yes, Peter. Huh? Peter, how he doubted. Jacob, for stealing the birthright. Jacob, he desired to be forgiven. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, oh God. We know that your word is true. Help us, oh God. Help us to forgive. Help us, oh God, to get in right standards with you. Help us to call on the Holy Spirit that will come in and will lead us and guide us into all truth. It will show us what we are to do, what we are capable of doing. We ask this right now in your holy name, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say amen. Amen. We look forward to having you back here with us next Friday and Saturday and on Sunday at the same number. We are blessed, and as we are blessed, you will be blessed knowing the word of God.